passion for God, and compassion for our neighbor. Reaching people with Jesus. This is Crosswinds Church.
Well, I simply have two goals this morning. One is to tell you a little bit of Crosswinds history. We've been around for 75 years, and I suspect there's not many in this room who've been around for 75 years to know that history. So I'm going to tell you a little history lesson, and then we're going to turn to a brief Bible lesson. We're looking at Joshua chapter 3 and 4 about why it's so important that we know about our history and God's faithfulness in the past. So I'm not going to be long, but we're going to dive right in. First thing I want to talk to you about is Crosswinds history. In 1949, Crosswinds was founded. Actually, it was founded as Faith Fundamental Baptist Church. And the reason for it being founded that way is there was a desire to have a Bible-teaching church with a gospel presence in the Lakes community. And as Jordan mentioned, at the time, there wasn't a pastor. And so they shared the pastor with Loon Lake Baptist Church at the time. And a few years later, Faith Fundamental Baptist, which is who we originally were, broke off and become independent. But just so you know, there was only 25 people in the church at that time. Then in 1954, they desired to have a place to meet. And so they bought some property. The property was on 15th Street. And they also bought an old country church in Langdon, Iowa. And here's a photo of when they actually put that old country church on some trucks and they moved it from Langdon, Iowa to 15th Street in Spirit Lake. Dan Foote, who was one of the patriarchs of the church, he tells me about the early days, because he was around in those days, when they didn't have enough money to pay the bills, so they would come to the end of the service and they'd hold the bill up and they'd say, "We need to pay this on Wednesday," so they passed the offering plate again. And then they counted it, there wasn't enough, they'd pass it again until they could actually pay the bill. But what he said is, whenever the church decided to take a step of faith to try and reach more people with Jesus, it was always tough. But one of the things they learned is God always provided. It was tough, but God provided. Then in 1956, the church decided to join a new denomination and joined the Evangelical Free Church of America. And it also took on a new name, which was Faith Evangelical Free Church. 1973, needing more room from the 15th Street location, they sold that property and decided to move into the new building. Here's two photos from you. The first photo I have for you, that I found on the cover of what was must be a bank proposal, where they were asking for the loan to actually build the church. And then the next photo I have for you, that's actually what the church looked like when it was first built. And the question became, well, why move? Why did they build? And the answer is simple. It's because they were out of space, and the goal was they needed to reach more people with Jesus. And once again, it was financially challenging. It didn't always look like it was going to work out on paper, but they moved forward in faith, and once again, God provided. At that time, the church had grown to 83 people in attendance. 1981, Awana began. Awana began not just as a way to disciple our children, but it became a way to try and reach the children of the community. And why was that a focus? Because it was all about reaching people with Jesus, which you hear all the time here at Crosswinds. About a decade later, in 1990, with Awana reaching many children with Jesus, they decided that instead of building a larger church building, which would have made them more comfortable, they would actually build a gymnasium so they could reach more children with Jesus. The first photo I have for you is actually of a cake. Go ahead and put the cake up there. May God bless our step in faith as we try and build this gymnasium to reach more children. And then the next photo is a picture of Norm. That's a picture of you. Remember the groundbreaking? He remembers it. Oh, yeah. That was him where they broke the ground. And the next photo is them putting up the walls on that gymnasium. And then, once again, it was financially tough. It was a step of faith. But God had provided in the past, and so they believed he would provide in the present, and he certainly did. Then in 1999, the church had grown to 200 people, and they decided to take another step of faith, to build the in Spirit Lake, the worship space between the gym and the old worship building. And it was going to be a step of faith. It was going to be a large worship space. And here's the first photo I have for you. This was the picture is the artist's conception of what it would look like before they actually began there. Then Pastor Norm, you show up again. Here it is. There he is. Dave, you're on that one too. There he is. That's the groundbreaking ceremony. And by the way, they also held a service. Go ahead, next photo. They held a service on the grass between the two buildings to see what it would actually be like when they were there. And then we have a photo of the church building under construction. And Randy Graff, who is one of our elders over the years, he told me that when they first moved in, 200 people into this massive space, he said it was weird. It was cavernous. Like, Lord, we built this in faith, but you're going to be the one who's going to have to fill it up. And you're going to have to bring more people here. We built this so many people could hear about Jesus Christ. Then in 2008, I remember when I arrived. And I remember my first elder meeting. The first thing they told me is, by the way, we have a balloon mortgage. It's due in a few months. It's $250,000, and we don't have the money. That's a great way to start your first elder meeting at church. And so we prayed hard, and then we came to the church, and we said, hey, here's a problem. We have about $250,000 in a building loan that we need to pay, and can we really give it this? Can we get rid of this thing? And the church, in 2 years, gave $250,000 above and beyond normal operation giving to pay off that debt. And the reason they did that is because we want to put our money towards reaching people with Jesus, not just paying off buildings. Not that that's not an important thing to do, but we want to put it more strategic. Then in 2011, when we had paid off the mortgage on the Spirit Lake campus, we had some challenges. The basement began leaking pretty substantially. And the roof actually was leaking, and the water was coming in on the drywall, and so it was causing all kind of damage for the building. And the two repairs combined were about $275,000. And I remember the meeting with the congregation when we said, we have to go back in debt. And the church said, no, you haven't given us a chance to give. And this time, not in 2 years, but in 1 year, the congregation gave $275,000 above normal operating expenses to pay off the basement repairs and the addition of a new roof. Then in 2012, with debts paid and buildings repaired, the desire became to be able to leverage our money into ministry. And I can still remember the elder meeting. It's easy to remember because it's one of the few elder meetings I had at my house, in my living room. And I share with the elders, you know, I think that God is calling us to become a multi-site church. And I think God is calling us to open us a campus in Spencer. And I remember the elders said, I think you're crazy. But you know, when God is behind something, he starts to work in hearts and minds. And in the next 4 to 6 weeks, every single elder became a champion of that vision. And the process began to move forward. We looked at what it would take to change the front of the Spirit Lake worship space, because what we were going to need to do is, we didn't know if we'd have a live pastor like we have Jordan or if it would be video. We didn't know which way it would go. We knew we had to make changes. We had quotes. It was a $60,000 spend to change the front of the space and get cameras and do things like that, but there was no money. And so we thought it was dead. And then God showed up again, because you know, when God's behind something, doesn't he show up again and again? All of a sudden, I'm never going to forget the day, an older person in Spirit Lake on the campus all of a sudden knocked on my office door. I opened it, and he came in walking with a cane, and he said, I hear that you elders are talking about becoming a multi-site church. Tell me about that. So I shared the vision, and I shared the funding needs, and we didn't have $60,000. We had just paid $500,000 above and beyond normal giving in the last 3 years. He said, I believe in that. I want to get behind that. I'm going to pay for that. And he wrote me a check for $60,000. And that was the beginning of multi-site. That check was used to partially to change the front of the Spirit Lake Worship Center. You can show you what it used to look like. That's what it looked like. And about 3 weeks later, it looked like that. Some dramatic transformations. Then in 2013, we were praying and fasting and looking to if we could find a campus pastor. And God, in his graciousness, brought Pastor Jordan onto our radar. And we were able to hire him. And by the way, we hired him. He was really young. In case you're wondering, this is what he looked like at the beginning. And Jordan saw that. He said, no, I was really young. I can't believe they hired me. Yeah. But, you know, it was not easy when we hired Jordan. It was not easy to all of a sudden become a church from one campus to two campuses. And I remember that elder meeting as we looked out in the budget. We realized that if the Lord didn't show up again, it would be 6 to 8 months and we would run out of funds. So we prayed. And we took a step in faith and went forward. And you know, God showed up because at the end of that year, the people came, the finances came, and we were one church operating with two campuses and financially sound. And then in 2017, the investments we had made in sound and tech, they began to pay some dividends. So the Wyndham extension site had been watching us, a group of people in a living room, been watching us in their living room, and then they started watching us in a library, and then they rented a church building. And even today, they watch us with a direct connect online. So we've been able to use that video technology. Here's a photo of some of the people on the Wyndham extension site. Some of them are here this morning, and we're so thrilled to have you. And then in 2022, we had spent a fair amount of time while looking. We had a temporary home for the Spencer campus, but we spent years looking for a permanent home. And during that time where we were looking for a permanent home, we were saving money to be able to purchase a piece of property. And when the Gateway North Mall became available, we had $300,000 cash that we could buy it on the spot. And then that year, we began the renovation. We gutted it and renovated it completely. You can see the Gateway North Mall for those of you who don't know what it looks like. That year, God's people gave $1.8 million to meet budget and to pay for the renovations of that facility in full. We started it on day one with no debt. Because you know, when you move forward in faith, God shows up, doesn't he? He shows up again and again. And that brings us to what I want to have as our very brief Bible lesson. Why is it important for us to take this day to remember God's faithfulness in the past? This lesson comes from Joshua chapters 3 and 4. You may remember the context. The Israelites had left Egypt under Moses. God had showed up a number of times in their life to protect them, to provide for them. When it came to the promised land, they wouldn't believe that God would protect and provide for them again. And so because of their lack of faith, they walked for circles for 40 years in the wilderness till every one of them was dead. And their children, the next generation, would go in under a new leader named Joshua. And so we pick up in the beginning of Joshua. Joshua and the Israelites are going to go into the promised land. And the first formidable obstacle they face is they have to cross the Jordan River. It was at flood stage. How can an entire nation cross a wide river? That brings us to our text. They were told to move forward in faith. The priests were to lead the way. And what would happen? God would show up. Joshua chapter 3. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water, Now the Jordan overflows all of its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the Sea of Arba, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. In faith, God's people obeyed. The priests led the way. They put their feet in the edge of the Jordan River, and God made the impossible possible, didn't he? He split the Jordan River and let the entire nation go through, and he even made it dry ground. Now, isn't that interesting? Do you see a similarity there? Crosswinds history is when people have moved forward in faith to reach more people with Jesus, obeying the Great Commission to tell people about Jesus Christ. God shows up and he makes a way, and he makes the impossible possible. He's done that in Crosswinds again and again, just like he did that with Joshua and the people of Israel when it came to the crossing of the Jordan. But this crossing of the Jericho was something they were not to forget, because this is what we see next. Now, when all the nation had passed over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Take 12 stones from the center of the Jordan River, put them on the shore, so you will remember, when you look at them, what happened this day. When in faith you move forward, obeying God, and he showed up. So why? Why should we take the time to remember God's faithfulness in the past? There's two reasons I want to give to you. First one is found in Joshua 3. Joshua said, "Here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites." Here's the point. When we remember how God showed up in the past, it gives us confidence that he will show up again in the future. Isn't that right? When we remember how God showed up in the past, it gives us confidence he'll show up again in the future. The Jordan River and the crossing of it was only the first impossible challenge that the Israelites would face. Because all these people that they would have to conquer when they conquered the Promised Land, we learned this when we studied 1 and 2 Samuel. You remember, they were militarily sophisticated. They had horses, they had chariots, they had sophisticated military weapons, and the Israelites were just foot soldiers. On paper, the Israelites were no match for these people. But when they would move forward in faith, obeying God's word, God would show up and again, they defeated far superior military powers because God was giving them the promised land. The memorial stones were to help them look back and to remember what God had done in the past and how he had been faithful to them in the past. And then when they had difficult and seemingly impossible challenges in the future, God would be faithful and he would show up again. Folks, for the last 75 years, Crosswind's history has been about taking big steps of faith to reach more people with Jesus, and God needed to show up to make that possible. Whether that was having enough funds to build a building, whether that would be having enough funds to open another campus, God showed up when his people stepped forward in faith. But there's one more reason that we are celebrating today. It's in Joshua chapter 4. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones, these memorial stones, mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Here's the point. When we remember how God showed up in the past, it gives our children the confidence that God will show up for them too. Crosswind's story is 75 years long. The people who started the church 75 years ago, they're home. Most of them are with Jesus now. And we're a new generation. But the reason we celebrate God's faithfulness over 75 years is because, folks, it won't be long and we'll be home with Jesus. And everyone who's in this room who's under the age of 25, they'll probably be the ones that are in leadership at Crosswinds Church. It'll be their turn, their chance to take a big step of faith, whatever the Lord may be calling the church to do, to reach more people in Spirit Lake, Spencer, and other communities with Jesus. And it's when they know that God showed up in the past, in their parents' generation, it made the impossible possible to reach more people with Jesus. He'll show up in their generation to make the impossible possible to reach more people with Jesus too. So, why are we taking the time to celebrate these 75 years? Why is it so important for us to have this memorial when we look back and remember God's faithfulness? Because remembering God's faithfulness in the past gives us the courage that God will be faithful in the future when we take a big step of growth. And remembering God's faithfulness in the past gives our children the courage to take a big step trusting God in the future. Because folks, before you know it, we'll be home with Jesus and they'll be leading in our place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have proven yourself again and again to be a faithful God. That this mission that we have of reaching people with Jesus, that you are behind it. You want more people to know about the good news of Jesus Christ, and you have enabled Crosswinds to reach more people. Father, I ask that as we reflect today on your faithfulness in the past, that we would be courageous and confident that when we move forward into the future to reach more people with Jesus, you'll be faithful there as well. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Crosswinds Church. A complete archive of sermons can be found online at crosswinds.tv. Thank you for being with us, and may God continue to enrich your life.